Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday. Feels like Thursday. Feels like maybe it should be even weeks over. But no, Tuesday. And that means, to my great benefit, and I hope yours, I'll be joined this hour by my good friend and fellow attorney, Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. Welcome back to the show.
Maggie, whether it's Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday, I'm always delighted to share this table and part of your show with you every single time.
It is always educational for me, especially. I appreciate your time. And Jim, you may have heard that Civic Media is doing this fabulous Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, statewide Text to Win contest. We're going to be doing this every day for the next 2 weeks. It ends next Friday. So to enter to win, I'm going to be dropping the keyword of this hour. Just during this hour, got to text in using the Civic Media app during the hour. Again, during the hour, I'm going to give you the word in a little bit. You're going to want to hang on till you get the word for today. And then text it in using the app. You will be qualified to win a prize for just those that enter during this hour. You will also be qualified to win one of our grand prizes. We've got getaways to the Door County area, which I love. You all know that, as well as the Wisconsin Dells, some other amazing prizes. You can find all the contesting rules at civicmedia.us. But hang tight, everybody. We're going to be dropping the word of the hour shortly so that you can text via the app to win and kick off your Scotty summer with a bang on Civic Media's dime, which is the best part of all of that. I am excited. I'm particularly excited today to talk about a little bit of like, hey, let's get our heads up above the tree line, our eyes above the tree line, and see what's actually going on here. And I love talking about this stuff with fellow public servants because what's going on now is so out of the norm by huge, massive leaps and bounds.
And we think, Maggie, about the possibility that this kind of thing could have been, whether it's in Milwaukee County or the U.S. Attorney's Office. And we think about the prospect that these people who have no qualifications would be in those positions, either supervising us or we supervising them. And we cannot imagine that, right?
No.
That's the problem.
It's so odd. And I wanted to start, we're going to be talking about tariffs a goodly bit. I've got Sean Fetoplace joining me at the top of the 5 o'clock hour to talk about the impact of this crazy nonsense on again, off again tariff. What is it even? What? Only 30 some percent of the American public thinks that the tariffs are going to be good. By the way, they're wrong. I trust that they genuinely believe that, but they're wrong. We're going to talk to Sean Fetoplace of the Main Street Alliance about the tariffs impacts on small businesses, because all of us care about that. Small businesses employ 68 million Americans. They account for over 90% of businesses operating in the state of Wisconsin. They employ millions here. They are the lifeblood of our economy, and the tariff terror of taxes from Donald Trump is going to crush small businesses, and it will get worse. So we're going to talk with Sean Fetoplace on that point, just to set up a little bit this afternoon. You remember that Rojo, he wants more cruelty in the big, brutal bill, more cuts, because Ron is trying to position himself as some sort of deficit hawk. Didn't seem to bother him during Trump 1.0 when he voted for the largest single increase to our nation's deficit back then, in conjunction with the largest tax cut up till this big brutal bill for the wealthiest among us. Didn't hear peep from Ron back then. Now he seems to be concerned about tariffs. Let's take a listen. This is going to be cut 14. Jacob, thanks.
Can you see yourself voting for this big, beautiful bill at all?
Not in the current structure, no. Yeah, I refuse to vote for something that's going to actually increase the deficits, exacerbate the problem from the current situation. Again, we shouldn't be talking about this right now. We should have been doing all the work, like I say, the multi-step process. We'd already have the border funding, we'd have defense, we'd have $850 billion of real savings banked already. Plus, we could have extended current tax law, taken tax rate increase off the table. We could have had all that done, but unfortunately, decisions were made to do one big, beautiful bill. It's not beautiful. I'm sorry. It's not a big, beautiful bill. That's called rhetoric.
So Ron's a hard no, at least right now. We'll see if he actually maintains hard no. But he's been very vocal locally on all the national news networks, goes on CNBC and Fox all the time talking about this. Doesn't seem to be at all concerned about the hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites that may get kicked off of Medicaid, not worried about Wisconsinites going hungry. None of that. Just deficit hawking. Seems to have found some religion there. Interesting, because the White House is apparently a little ticked off about that. And this is what Caroline Leavitt has had to say just yesterday about Rojo. Take a listen.
On the Big Beautiful Bill, you said recently that it is, quote, blatantly wrong to say that it adds to the deficit. You essentially said that an estimate from the Congressional Budget Office and other scorekeepers you believe are wrong. But Republicans like Ron Johnson and Rand Paul disagree. They are saying that it will add to the deficit. That is their concern. Is the White House's position that those two Republican senators are, quote, blatantly wrong?
It is. Those senators, it's not news that they disagree with this president on policy. And the president has vocally called them out for it and for their not having their facts together. I would add the Congressional Budget Office has been historically wrong. In fact, they predicted the Trump tax cuts from the president's first term in 2017. Their prediction was wrong by $500 billion. Those tax cuts had nearly $500 billion more of revenue than the Congressional Budget Office scored. And I would also point out, I don't think many people know this, there hasn't been a single staffer in the entire Congressional Budget Office that has contributed to a Republican since the year 2000. But guess what? There have been many staffers within the Congressional Budget Office who have contributed to Democrat candidates and politicians every single cycle since. So unfortunately, this is an institution in our country that has become partisan and political, and we are very confident in our own economic analyses of this bill. There is $1.6 trillion in savings, and our Office of Management and Budget Director...
just wrap the blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I just want to be really clear here. Unless we can make the, I think it's Apple TV show Severance.
Mm, yes.
An actual thing. It is not a rebuttal of the CBO's work to say that some people who worked in the CBO, and I don't know even if this is accurate, she lies all the time from the podium, so it may not be. But yes, people that work in government have their private political beliefs.
And sometimes they make contributions in their private capacity.
Correct.
Which
money
they
is
can
speech.
Do.
Remember, money
absolutely.
Is speech. So First Amendment. Unless you expect people to undergo a severance type brain wipe and show up in government, yes, you're going to have people with a whole spectrum of beliefs. It doesn't discredit the CBO. Caroline Leavitt's quotation of the $500 billion off. Well, just remember, everybody, that Donald Trump's first tax cuts increased the deficit by multiple trillions. And yes, the CBO uses projections that are based on all sorts of economic assumptions. I'm an economist. I will joke to people. I'll tell you how much or when, but never both at the same time. These are the economist jokes. So yeah, there's always some error. It doesn't mean that the overarching analysis is wrong. And legit, every single analysis, whether the Yale Budget Lab, the Brennan Center, the CBO, the Council for a Responsible Budget, the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy, ITEP, I could name a ton of them, including the conservative think tanks, the American Enterprise Institute. All of them looked at this next big windfall to the ultra wealthy and said, yeah, you're looking at, depending on how it's structured, depending on the final contours of the bill, somewhere in the ballpark of $3 trillion to $5 plus trillion in increased deficit because Donald Trump wants to give tax breaks to the ultra wealthy, the billionaire class that don't need them anyways. Them's the facts. I don't know. Caroline Leavitt does not live on Earth One. I'm just saying.
She does not. And again, to your good point, Maggie, again, you get variations depending upon which particular think tank it may be. And it's premised in part upon the kinds of things that they use to generate their numbers. But the CBO itself, you know this better than anybody does. What is their mission? It is to be nonpartisan, right? You come up with an idea on Capitol Hill. You say, I want to do something in agriculture or commerce or education. And the first thing, not maybe not the first thing, but the second or third thing that happens right after the first thing is, let's refer to the CBO. Let's have those folks, again, experts, yes, right, do analysis. We're going to talk about expertise, I think, in just a few moments. And they approach these kinds of things with their expertise and come back, whether you're Republican, independent, or Democratic representative, and say, this is our best intelligent, experienced-based estimate about how much this is going to cost.
People, like, again, this idea that because people in their private lives have political viewpoints, that makes them incapable of rendering apolitical, nonpartisan analyses. We're talking about number crunchers, people will not come up with 2 + 2 = 12.5, right? They'll come up with 4. This has been this line that's come out from the Trump administration over and over and over again. And here's what I want to ask Jim and each and every one of you. Who do you think has hired the most credible, smartest, best in class, best in industry people to fill out their administration? Donald Trump 2.0 or Democrats? Who do you think is more likely to exercise their duties today in a nonpartisan, apolitical kind of way? People that are afraid of Donald Trump issuing an executive order specifically targeting them as an individual because they have a political belief that is contrary to the president's political beliefs? What does all of this mean? And who actually is running things within our government? Is it, quote, the best people ever? Or is it some other version of this? And if they're not the best people ever, why aren't they? And there's a lot of answers to these questions. We're going to be talking about a lot of them. We want to hear from you. I have a particular viewpoint. I think you can see it manifesting as we look through these cabinet level positions and department head positions that Donald Trump has been appointing to. And I think there is a reason for this that is a little bit more nuanced than the good people won't work for him anymore. So he's deep onto like CD squad lists. It's more than just, I want loyalists.
There's something very intentional here, right? Right? This is not just, well, these are the folks who said, I met with them at a party and they said, I want to be an ambassador somewhere here. I wanted to be the head of the SBA or the Social Security Administration.
And I think it's beyond pure corruption. Right, I think there is something else. And maybe it's by accident that we end up with this effect, but I think that there's something that I believe is much more actually intentional. I don't believe it's accidental. And I believe it is having a real impact on how government is working or not. We're going to talk about some of the big head-scratchingest appointees, including some as of late. And then we're going to break down the bigger picture. I've got Jim Santel with me, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. My name's Maggie Dawn. Your key word to win this hour and the summer Scani giveaway is relax. We want you to have a relaxing summer. R-E-L-A-X. I'll drop it again in our next segment. Stay tuned, everybody. We got a humdinger of a Maggie Dawn show for you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.